In the way of introduction tonight, I like to share two passages out of the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, Paul is writing to a messed up church. It's a carnal church. It's an immoral church. And they have a lot of issues. And Paul writes here in verses 10 through 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," he says, "I want you to learn this, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And here's the manifestation of the problem. "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe." Now, they didn't have cell phones back there that you could take a picture and send it out on the internet. But Paul had got word from some friends of his about what was going on in the church. And in verse 11, he says that there are what? Contentions among you. He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" They thought it more important about who led them to the Lord than being led to the Lord in the first place. And that was a messed up situation that they had. And it caused, well, who's better than Paul? Who's better than this? Later on in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it says in verses 3 through 11, it says, "For ye are let carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions." When there is envying and strife, there is what? Every evil work. He says, "Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But what? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers," and everybody say that next word, "together." What was their problem? Contentions. Okay? "For ye are laborers together with God." Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." See, it's not important who we call ourselves, but rather who God calls us to be. That's the more important thing. If I'm right with God, that's all I need, because I'll be doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, for the right reason. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Paul writes to this church, and he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." And then he goes on and says this. He says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, in the New Testament, we do not meet Baptist or Congregationalist, Methodist or Presbyterians. We don't meet Salvationists, those work for the Salvation Army, Pentecostals or Plymouth Brethren or Mennonite. We do not hear of Southern Baptists or Independent Baptists, Primitive Baptists, Missionary Baptists, Regular Baptists, or American Baptists. It's not there. It's not there. But you know, there's all those little sects. Instead, in the Bible, we meet believers, brethren, disciples, Christians, and saints. The titles by which God calls His people are all universal in scope and definitive in character. They are intended to emphasize a great New Testament truth. And we talked about truth last week. All born again believers belong to the same universal church. Now that doesn't mean that you could just kind of come in and say, I'm part of the church, I'm your member, I'm your deacon, or what? Nope. You still work through the local church. The local church has authority. The local church has protection. But we're all part of the universal church as we see that we're going to be married to Christ. It is a truth worth remembering, especially when we find ourselves close in heart, mind, and compassion to others that also love the Lord. My message tonight is a very simple one. We're going to look at the Bible and how God names His followers. How God names His people. We're not talking about His chosen people tonight. We're talking about New Testament believers. There are five words in the New Testament that are used to define New Testament believers. The first one is believers. In Acts chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. There is no difference. A believer is a believer. Doesn't matter how you look. It matters on who you believe in. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul is encouraging his young protege, this pastor at Ephesus, says, let no man despise that you. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Young people can do as much in a church as old people can. Amen. And they should. We need to train them to do that. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to what? To the believers. And here he gives on a list. He says, in word, what we say. And basically in conversation, in the way we live, in charity, the way we give or how we give it, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Folks, the church needs that today. The church needs to be filled of believers and not necessarily deceivers. It's not who you call yourself, it's who God recognizes you to be. See, this describes, the word for believer in the New Testament describes their conviction, describes our convictions. See, the first is our conviction to the Lord. Up here in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and believers were the more added to who? To the Lord. Doesn't talk about the church. Doesn't talk about the apostles. It talks about to God. Folks, we need to be God-focused. We need to be Christ-centered.
Amen.
And then in Timothy here, it says, by being an example. You know, James writes, he says, how are you going to show your faith except you do something about it? Okay? Don't have faith when you have respect of persons. You're all called into one body. Because what? There's one body. and one Spirit. Okay? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we need to understand that tonight we're believers. God looks down to us and we believe in what God has done for us through Christ on the cross. We believe what John 3:16 says. We believe His love. And so the first word that we need to understand that we're a believer first. Because if you don't believe, you're not going anywhere. It starts with believe. And basically, it says, and they all what? Believed. Okay? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. So, we're believers. The second word that we're called in the New Testament is brethren. Now, I'm not going to get into a gender argument tonight. Okay? It's just... It's worthless to do that, okay? We know what we mean. We're all part of the family of God, okay? Amen. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, wherefore, brethren, okay? All part of one family. We're part of God's family. Look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, we know what this is. Is that in the early church, the church got big and there were people that needed ministering to the widows, okay, and the orphans. And there was, and the apostles were too busy doing that, and there was not enough people around. There's not enough of them to go and study the Word of God. So they selected deacons or helpers for that. And so in Romans 12:1, we know this because we've heard it enough. It says, I beseech you therefore what? Brethren. This doesn't apply to the world. It applies to the church. It applies to believers. Okay, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, the term believers basically underlies our convictions. The term brethren describes our company. It describes their company. And we see two things in here also. In Acts 6:3, it says that they have an honest report. They have an honest report. They are what? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. All believers need to have that. All brethren need to have that. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul writes this. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a what? Brother. There's a lot of people out there that think I can live like the world and still go to heaven. That's true. But I wonder if you're saved in the first place. If you have no conviction for the Lord, if you have no conviction to be an example, if you have no desire to do the right thing, by their fruit ye shall know them. Amen. It is an individual decision. I'm not telling you can't lose your salvation. I'm basically saying you never had it in the first place. But look at this. It says, and this was the problem. This was the problem. It's an immorality. There was sexual promiscuity in the Corinthian church. And it says, any man that is called a brother be a what? A fornicator. You know, that's having sexual relations outside of marriage. It's wrong. Okay? It's wrong. It's not part of what God wants us to do. Or covetousness. Want somebody else's stuff, and that's your whole drive in life, is to get more stuff. Or a idolater. You're putting stuff ahead of God. Or a railer, someone who likes to cause arguments all the time. Or a drunkard. Or an extortioner. With such as one know not to eat. See, to be brethren, it means to keep company. You know, David writes, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to what? Dwell in unity. So, as brethren, we're supposed to have an honest report with everybody else. Secondly, brethren do what is expected by God and by their fellow brethren. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us what? Let us walk by the same rule. Well, my Bible tells, let the Word of God rule in your, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Okay, let us all walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers, wow, together of me. And mark them which walk so as we have us for a what? As an example. So we already see that we as believers need to be a believer to the Lord. We need to be a believer as an example. Then we need to be brethren. We need to have an honest report that we deal justly with everyone. Everyone speak truth to his what? Neighbor. And then basically, there's some standards on that. There's some standards on that. And that we do what is expected by God and the fellow brethren. Because why? It says in Romans 12, 1, he says that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And it says, which is your reasonable service. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to do this. We need to do that. So the first word for us is what? Believers. The second word for us is brethren. The third word is disciples. To be a disciple means it describes their commitment by identity. And Christ himself said this in John chapter 13, verse 35. It says, and this shall all men, how many men? All men. Know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one toward another. Gets back to the first two things. You gotta love your brother, you gotta love your sister. Okay? And folks, I gotta tell you this. If you can't love people that are supposed to be of like mind and faith, how can you love like Christ the lost world out there? If we can't get our act right in here, how can we do what God wants us out to do out there? And so, this describes their commitment by identity. When Paul was given letters in Acts chapter 9, he was given letters to go up and find the disciples in Jerusalem. Okay? And they were finding all the disciples there. So we need to be disciples by identity. We need to be disciples by practice. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, and upon the first day of the week. First day of the week, where were they? They were in church. They were worshiping God. Okay? When the disciples came together to break bread, they had fellowship. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight, and they stayed until it's undone, and didn't look at their watch. Okay? The Word of God should excite us. We're getting to hear the words of Christ. We're getting to be able to apply them to our lives. To be a disciple means to be a disciplined one. Someone who's actually committed to this. So the first thing is we are believers. And then we are brethren. And then we are disciples. And you go through a lot of the New Testament before you come to the next one, which is Christian. It took several years of the church age before they got to that point. And it describes, you know, that being Christian is to be Christ-like. But that's an issue of conduct, folks. Okay? So we have this issue of company. We have this issue of commitment. We have this issue of conviction. And now we have this issue of conduct. Your convictions should choose who and who you are around. Your convictions to the Lord and to be an example to everybody should basically show your commitment to what you believe. And if we're committed, we will be Christ-like. We should be serving like Christ. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, there's only three times that the word Christian is used in the New Testament. And this is one of them. This is the first one. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And when they found him, he brought him under," talking about Paul, "he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." The second time that Christian is used is when King Agrippa is hearing the defense to Paul, from Paul. And King Agrippa says this. He says, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian, to become a Christian." But Paul was serving like Christ. The whole church was serving like that. It says they assembled themselves with the church, and everybody was in unity. And then the third one is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. They're talking about suffering like Christ. We know this thing. Christ said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." We had a young lady stop by yesterday for prayer. And she was talking about all these things. She said, "All these things go wrong. I just wanted to stop." Yeah. We all want to stop. Why do we have to go through this? Because God said He would. God said we would. And that's how we get faith. That's how we get patience. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Yet if any man suffer as a what? Christian." Well, to suffer as a Christian, you need to believe in God. You need to have that conviction. To suffer as a Christian, you need to be holding the right company. Because if you're holding the wrong company, you'll suffer as a criminal, or you'll just be just like them. And then, if you're committed, you will suffer. It says, "But yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be what? Ashamed." One of the things that she said, "I try all these things and then I just want to give up." Have you ever gotten to that point? Ever gotten to that point where you suffer so much that you just want it all to stop and say, "I'm just done. I'm done with this"? No, we can't be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed, but let him what? Glorify God on this behalf, this issue of suffering, because Christ said you would suffer. Christ said the world hated me, the world's going to hate you. So to be like Christ is not to wear a wristband, is not to put on a white cloak, is not to glow, it's to walk like He. It's to do like Him. It's to do the same works. He says, "Greater works than these shall you do." And it's to suffer with Him. You know, Paul says that I may what? Know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His what? Sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So, we're first called what? Believers. Then we're called brethren. Then we're called disciples. Now we're called Christians. And the last thing is saints. This describes our character, or a Christian's character. The one truth about being a saint, as you know you're one right now, it's common for all believers. It's common for all brethren. It's common for all disciples. It's common for all Christian. in Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Ananias has talked about Paul going to come and see him. He said, then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to what? Thy saints at Jerusalem. But see, we're all called to be saints. You know, the Roman Catholic idea that only super holy people who are canonized by the Roman Catholic Church are all the, if that's how you become a saint, that is unscriptural.
Amen.
We're all saints.
Amen.
To be a saint means that you see God. Be a saint means that you have the inheritance, God. To me, a saint means that where it says the word is used in the New Testament to describe all those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It's common to all. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's hope again. Saints have hope. Why? Because we're made joint heirs with Christ. Okay? We're His family. We are brethren with Jesus. So, to be a saint is common for all of us and not just for a select few. It is the calling of God. It is the calling of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, to call to be saints means that you weren't one in the beginning. Okay? We didn't start out that way. But once we know Christ, then we're justified and we're sanctified. And then when you think of a saint, you think of who? You think of what? You think of someone who is doing the right thing and walking out holy, a holy life. We should all do that. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. See, the issue about being saint is to be separate in your character. We're not supposed to touch the unclean thing. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be a new creature. We're supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man daily. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says this. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. So tonight, a real simple message. I want you to reflect on this. Reflect on what it means to be a true believer. Reflect on what it means to be truly a brethren with fellow believers. Reflect on what it means to be truly God's disciple. And it's just not a word that you just put on yourself. It's an action. Reflect on what it means to be called a Christian by God, according to God's word, not what the world says. Because the world calls people who are not even close to being saved Christians. They call cults Christian. We need to understand what the truth is. And then the last thing is, consider that we have the position of being saints right now. Do we live up to these names? See, in Ephesians, it said what? He said that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are what? Called. So tonight, are we living up to the names that God has given us? Only you know. And if not, we can get that fixed tonight and we walk out of here saying with a new commitment that we would follow Him this way. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, just to hear Your word. Father, help us, Lord, just to walk in these names. Father, someone here is not a believer. Lord, tonight I ask that they would understand that you sent your Son to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in place of a man's sin, representing all of our sins. So he died on the cross. Christ died on the cross for all of mankind's sin. He was buried and on the third day rose again to show that he has power over death and power over sin. And has ascended to the right hand of the Father now to make intercession for us, to give salvation to all who ask for forgiveness and to be saved. Lord, I pray that tonight, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, that tonight they won't walk out of here until they know that they're a believer. Lord, for us tonight, Lord, help us, Lord, to walk as brethren. Help us, Lord, to walk as disciples. Help us, Lord, to be called worthy of being called a Christian. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be saints in action. We give you this time of invitation. We just ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.